Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. In this particular episode, we're going to talk about a couple things I heard today on Comic Talk today. Martin talked about the Amazon announcement, and I guess what I was really excited about is that if you have Amazon Prime, you could read those comics for free, which I think is a good idea. Even though I don't have my Comixology account linked, I could have my wife log in and I can read these comics for free. What I'm more interested in is continuing the Elephant Man saga because I was buying that monthly from Image Comics. And Richard Stockings, who's doing the B for Image, I really enjoyed that. He's going to be doing like a horror book, so I'm looking forward to that one too. So that's cool. They've announced four books, and from what I understand, Martin said if you have Comixology Unlimited, which I don't, you could get these books for free. They'll be on the Unlimited service. If you have Amazon Prime, you'll be able to get these books for free. And you could pay for them if you just want to buy the digital copies if that's what you want. A lot of people seem disappointed, but I don't think you could be disappointed, especially if you're an Amazon Prime customer and you can get access to comics for free. Yeah, there's only four announcements so far, but that's pretty cool. Anytime you could get any kind of comic content for free, that's a good thing. So I thought I'd talk about that briefly and go listen to Comic Talk today. One that just came out, and you'll get all the details about that particular thing. I'm going to talk briefly about the Suicide Squad animated series. So, I was cleaning out some DVDs. We had company come into town, and we got cleaned out some DVDs, and I had time to watch one. And I've been like really, I own every one of them, but I've only watched 10 or less, or maybe. And I was just going to the movies I had, and I said, "Oh, Suicide Squad! I love Suicide Squad. Why don't I get the animated series and pop it in to the Blu-ray player and see what it's like?" And I was really pleasantly surprised. It was a rated R film. It was very bloody. It had so many characters and a convoluted plot, in which there was a card in which you can get that could cheat death. And the first group was a real interesting of the Suicide Squad, because Amanda Waller had them like go on this train, and it was just Deadshot, Punch and Julie, and Count Vertigo. And it was an interesting twist, because anytime you read Punch and Julie, they're like in love. They're like this couple that's in love. They're insane. They're almost like the Joker and Harlequin, but they're really all over each other, and they had a kid and all this, and they were all in love in this episode. And Julie actually betrayed Punch and actually killed him because she was having an affair with Count Vertigo, and they were going to turn the tides on Waller, and that didn't work out so well because she set the bombs off in their neck, and Deadshot was there. And then he's with another mission to get this card. He's with let's see who's in there. Captain Boomerang, Harley Quinn, Copperhead, who they put in here, which had more powers than he does in the comic book. He's like spitting venom and stuff like that. And he was very serpent-y. Like he could fit into things, kind of like Ragdoll. And there was one other one, and I can't remember. And they were set on this mission to get this cards, and they were actually having to fight Scandal and Knockout, who were also on this mission. She was on the mission for her father, Vandal Savage, Scandal Savage, that is. So you had a little bit of Secret Six goodness in there, because Scandal Savage. And there was another team that was after the card involving the Reverse Flash, because he was shot in the head, and by Batman in of another world, and he was trying to stay alive, and he needed this car to stay alive, and he had a Blockbuster, a version of Blockbuster. Oh, the other one that was in it was Killer Frost, and she was kind of like a switch hitter in this one. And they were all after this card. And the other one that was in it was a Bronze Tiger, and he actually ended up with the card. So that was interesting, because Waller didn't get it. Well, she thinks she got it, but she didn't. So yeah, it was a really good convoluted plot with a lot of action and bloodshed, a lot of deaths, a lot of necks blowing up. There was one other character. Oh, a Banshee, the one that's the Superman villain. She was also on the team with Reverse Flash and Blockbuster. So yeah, there's a lot of villains in this episode. Really good cartoon. I really enjoyed it. Some other things that I've gotten caught up on recently was Arrow, which I thought was brilliant this season. It was like a civil war of characters with DC characters, and they even had the name The Outsiders. And they had a lot of good stuff in it. Like, I just really dug the villains in this. Ricardo, I can't remember his last name, and the guy from Lost, whatever his name was. They made really good villains this season, and I just liked all the soap opera drama with Arrow. Really enjoyed it. I got all caught up on Black Lightning, which had a really good finale. I enjoyed that. Arrow was still my favorite of the series so this season. And what was the other one I got caught up in? The Flash. Flash was really different and good this year. I liked the elements I really liked is I liked the way they did Ralph Dibny of Elongated Man. It really turned out the actor really nailed it. I thought he added other dimensions to Ralph that made him unique to the TV show, and I really enjoyed that. And I liked the subway thing where the dark matter came and gave all those people powers. I liked the idea of that. It had vibes of if you read Malibu Strangers, because that was a really cool series back in the day. From the Ultraverse. I love the Ultraverse. And it kind of had that subway car. You know, everybody got powers and some turned to heroes and some turned to villains. Really enjoyed that aspect. I enjoyed that they had the Thinker. I thought he was a great villain. And it's a good series. Really like this season of Flash. Not as good as Arrow for me. Arrow had me really captivated. And then I just started getting caught up on Legends of Tomorrow. And after that, I'm going to tackle Supergirl. And before, like mid-season-ish, I was digging Supergirl the most. And right now it's Arrow. So we'll see how it all pans out. And if I get close to freeing up some space on that DVR, because Cloak and Dagger is starting up. And I still have to watch Happy and a lot of other things that have come out. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about other media. Tomorrow I'm finally getting to go see. Well, actually, this will by the time you listen to this, I'll have already seen it. But I'm going to go see Solo. It was either that or Deadpool. We still got to see Deadpool 2. We've missed a lot of movies premieres, and we're usually there on the Saturday to see them. But we've had friends come and visit and other things, so we couldn't do on the weekends. We couldn't go to the theater, so we'll be checking that out. And now, well, let's dig into some questions. So, the first one is from Kirk on Twitter, and he's a huge War Comics fan, and he asks, "The comic you didn't expect much from, but really enjoyed." That's a tough question because I always go in optimistically, thinking I'm going to really enjoy it, and I'm a mood reader. So, I think the whole line that really shocked the hell out of me, like I didn't think they'd be as good as they did, and I've absolutely loved them. Like, loved them as the hard case crime books. Trigger Man, Peep Show, a few other the others I've been amazed at. And the one I think that surprised me the most, and I guess because I went in with low expectations because I made the mistake of listening to podcasts that didn't like it, but was The Girl Who Handcuffed Houdini. I thought that was so damn good because it mixed fact and fiction. It was factual fiction about Houdini, and even in the back matter was so good. And I've always been a sucker for Houdini, so that really surprised me. Another one that surprised me is The Stalkers, which was an epic line I just picked out of a dollar bin. I didn't expect much from that, and really enjoyed it. And I want to complete the series on it now. So I hope that answers your question, Kurt. Avengers, No Surrender is another one that surprised the hell out of me because I didn't really. I felt positive about the Avengers series before they combined the series into one. I enjoyed them, but I didn't enjoy it as much as when they were working as a team, Wade and crew, when they combined it into No Surrender, because I absolutely loved it. It was like just brought so many fond memories of Contest of Champions, and it was written so well. The art was beautiful. Really loved No Surrender. So there's a couple for you. Shane from Australia says, "What do you think of Brian Michael Bendis writing Superman?" I think it's gonna be good. I've always liked Bendis. I followed all of his work, I think, except for his early stuff, which is the independent stuff. I never read Jinx or Powers, but everything beyond that, I think I own. So I really was fond of his Daredevil. I like when he's doing street level characters more than when he's doing like really powerful heroes. So we'll see how he does with Superman. The only thing I've read so far that he's done is the DC Nation, and if you were listening to the show, I talked about it, and I really enjoyed that Superman story. It was my favorite, with Perry White being the central focus there. Absolutely loved it. So we'll see what he does with Man of Steel. Like I said in the previous episode, I haven't been able to pick up my books because of their credit card machine wasn't working. So I have 2 weeks worth of books to pick up at the comic shop, and that's where I get all my DC proper. So still got to do that. And then you also asked, have you read Action Comics 1000? I have not yet. I still have to read, I think, like 5 issues of Action Comics and a few issues of Superman before I hit Action Comics 1000. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I am also reading Superman 85 Years or whatever that book is, which came out just before Action Comics 1000. And I'm like 5 stories into that so far. It's a hardcover. So the next question you asked, Shane, is, are you reading Black Hammer? The only one I've read and we covered on Geek Brunch was number one, but I have all of them and I have the mini series. And now that I'm reducing some of my content, I might get to it at some point. I really want to start reading that Black Hammer, and I really want to start reading some Aftershock and some Catalyst Prime. I want to get back into that world. So we'll see how that goes. Dallo Spicer, the Valiant fan, says, "Is continuity important to you?" Yes, very much so. And in my mind, I always link continuity, so it all makes sense. And my mind tries to. Sometimes I see errors, and they usually don't bother me. But the last time that I think something really bothered me was when I was reading Reginald Hudlin's Black Panther, and this was sort of right after Thunderbolts, where Radioactive Man was from China, and he made Radioactive Man from Russia, and I was like, what the fuck? How could there be two Radioactive Man? I don't know how that happened, but it really bothered me. That was the last time something really bothered me that was like, I was like, what in the world is going on here? Other stuff, my mind tries to adjust and tries to fit everything in continuity. Like even Flashpoint led to New 52 to me, and that was all continuity. And everything that's happened is sort of explained. Maybe not to my liking, but my mind links it all together. And Marvel does soft reboots all the time, and they pretty much keep their continuity intact. They just hide things that they didn't like. And does it bother me? Nah, not really. But I prefer things to be in continuity in Marvel and DC and Valiant and Catalyst Prime, Lionforge, even Zenoscope, Grim Fairy Tales is all has its own continuity. So yeah, I really enjoy continuity. And does it bother me? Only if it is something strikingly about like Radioactive Man at the time. I was on the comic book page. What forum was this? Before 11 o'clock comics, there was Marvel, the Bullpen Bulletins podcast with Vince and David. And I listened to that pretty religiously before it became 11 o'clock comics. And where was I going with that? What was the question again? See how I'm losing track of where I'm even at. Oh, about continuity errors. On that forum, I was Radioactive Man because I was like a huge fan of that character, and my icon was Radioactive Man, so it really bothered me in that Black Panther series. Even though that Reginald Hudlin Black Panther was really, really good. It wasn't as good as the Christopher Priest, but I thought it was a very good series after that. Black Panther's like my second favorite Marvel character, so he'll always have a pool on my pull list, regardless of who's doing it or how good it is. It's just that, you know, you put Daredevil and you put Black Panther, and I love those characters. And his teams like Fantastic Four. I mean, there's a couple things that'll always be safe. And then you talked about continuity. When a character has so many titles like Batman, Spider-Man, etc., do you just give up on continuity? No, I think it's all possible. A lot of things that you see, like in Batman and Detective and stuff, it's all continuity. You just can't place it in like some kind of linear fashion. You don't have like a clock like in Spawn or Valiant when the VH1 have all the dates and you'd be able to follow anything in like a continuous timeline. And you knew when Shadow Man was gonna die and all that. To me, you know, like you got Batman Detective, all the other titles, they all happen, unless it's an Elseworlds, in continuity, just not necessarily linear continuity. So, like if you said, when did it Batman tackle this villain again? I could remember like what it is and what had happened in that particular title, but usually Batman and Detective don't cross over anymore with itself since New 52 started. Nick Wetmore says, does your sickness influence your mood reading? Yes, it does. And in the last episode I recorded, I had a good time, but you'll see peaks in the volume because I couldn't stop coughing. I think in this episode you'll see that I'm able to talk more fluently and I'm not coughing as much, but I will cough from time to time. It inflects my mood reading because when I was sick for that 2 weeks, I didn't read a lot. And it's because I don't like to read when my nose is constantly running or I can't breathe. Because when I can't breathe, I'm really concentrating on trying to breathe. Like, I'm trying to stay calm. Because the worst thing you could do as an asthmatic and when you have bronchitis is to panic. Because you could lead yourself into a breathing panic. And sometimes I get into that state where I just still feel like I could take a deep breath, and I almost like want to say, "Barb, can you take me to the hospital?" Like I'm getting to that point, and because I can't take like just a full breath where you go, you can't do it. It's more like a half of that. You could do a half comfortably, but you have to concentrate just to get that half breath out. And that's what I really hate. But when I'm sick, I mean, it's hard. I really have a hard time reading. And actually, when I'm ill, I'd rather watch TV, and that's why I got caught up on Arrow and Flash, and I started watching The Terror and a couple other series. So I hope that answers your question, Nick. He says, "Do you have any staple summertime reading?" And I think it's like something to go to in the summertime. No, it's whatever I feel like. I am totally a mood reader, and I can't even tell you what I'm going to read next week. The only time I ever schedule what we're going to read is usually me and Bill will bounce ideas off of what we're going to cover, because I really have a good time talking to Bill, and even if I'm not in the mood for something, I could find something to talk about within the books that he chooses. So I pretty much let him choose. And this next Geek Brunch, there's a lot of interesting choices that are in there that I'm looking forward to talking about, and also a lot of books I need to read. So I have a lot of reading to do tonight and tomorrow night, just to get that reading list ready for a Geek Brunch. The next question Nick asks is, "Have you finished the Stephen King crime noir novel?" No, I'm still 70 pages in. I think the last trip that I took, I put it in my backpack, but I ended up reading digital comics instead. So, I need to get back to that. Whatever happened to the Flash kids? Well, they were gone as it right before Flashpoint. Both of the kids, Wally's kids, had different powers. And one of them, I think it was the girl who lost her powers, and I don't even remember how it ended. I just remember they were him and Linda and the kids ended up somewhere, and then Flashpoint started. Even before Flashpoint, they brought Barry back, and it kind of pushed Wally to the side with his family, and that's where he ended up. So, yeah, something to revisit at some point. And now that Wally's making a comeback in the Rebirth, I wonder if they will mention the kids. They did mention Linda, and they did in DC Universe Rebirth issue, and then in when the Flash proper title. Clone Saga, how is Aunt May in a coma and Mary Jane and Peter don't visit her for months and months of issues? Yeah, it was strange, and there I got the feeling, at least initially, that Ben Parker was more interested in visiting May than actual Peter is. And I know, like, you don't really know who's who yet, and stuff like that. But it was odd, you know, like, is this the real Peter? He doesn't even care that Aunt May's in the hospital. It was really bizarre. And he said you would be writing a letter to the editor because it was bothering you. I believe it. But it kind of made sense for what they were telling, especially even though they kept flip-flopping, like, is Peter really Peter or is Ben really Ben? And every time, like, Ben finds out something, like, here's a disc that will tell me if I'm the real Peter Parker, and he throws it into the ocean. So there's so many weird things, and every time you think you know, you don't know. What is your next omnibus that you'll be tackling? I don't know. I think it might be Alpha Flight. I think that's where I'm gonna go. But there's a couple of non-omnibus books that I want to finish. I have in my reading stack, The Adventures of Batman and Robin. I only have like two more issues of that to finish that trade. I'm reading The Cloak and Dagger. Like, it's an epic collection, but not quite an epic collection. I'm almost close to finishing that. There is an Elektra Peter Milligan series that I'm more than halfway through with that. So there's that series I want to finish, and then there's the Superman 80 years of Action Comics that I want to finish. So I think after I've winded those down, then I will pick another omnibus to jump into. Who knows, it might be the next Clone Saga because that next volume is out. And finally, Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit. Nick is from Nerdy Legion. Nerdy Legion's my favorite podcast, by the way. Drew says, "I love when you get emotional talking about great comics. Anything recently make you tear up?" I think the last thing that I read that I was bawling was the Clone Saga and the Aunt May issues when she died. But I'll keep you in mind when I read something new that I get emotional about. There's a lot of books that trigger emotion, and some of it's not all sad emotion. Some of it's just like just being giddy about something. Like, I was reading Justice League No Justice, and my history with the Suicide Squad. I absolutely loved what Waller was doing with all of the telepaths, and I like went through the chart and I like named all of them. I'm like, holy crap, that's they have Looker here, and they have all these characters, and I was looking at all the lineups of all Atomic Skull and all those telepaths that she had, Maxwell Lord, and just looking at it just made me so giddy and excited. Because I love when they write good Amanda Waller, and I love what they're doing with her in that series. I love that the Suicide Squad is even involved in this thing that's bigger, and then she was using this telepath, and the telepaths were able to find out what Brainiac was doing. It was just fascinating. So there's different kinds of emotions that happen. I think, Dark Knights, the metal had some really, really good series pieces in it that got me excited, but the overall theme of the whole book was so meta and very Grant Morrison, like Grant Morrison that I don't like, because it had Dream and it was like, well, the stories are what drive these characters, and it was like so meta that like. And then it even had so many Final Crisis references, like to the music that Superman found in Final Crisis and all that stuff, and how music played a part in this world. And it was the meta stuff that kind of turned me off, but there was some great things in there. Like it would just introduce like Challenger's Mountain, but then it never gave you the guts of what was. Or the Immortal Man, like the concept of the Immortal Man was fascinating. If you look at that table that was in Dark Knights, it was really awesome. Like, I was like, holy, it made me so giddy. I do like how Dark Knights did play on a lot of continuity. We talked about continuity, and it played a lot on Flashpoint. So it just goes to show that. A lot of that stuff is in canon, at least the big stuff. Teed a lot off of Final Crisis and things that happened in that time frame. So yeah, there's a lot of things to get excited about. Just finished Domino and I really enjoyed that. But I like Gail Simone. Like there's something about her style that just like the way I read the words, they click with me. Whereas Tom King doesn't, so it just whatever works for you. Gail Simone has always worked for me. Grant Morrison has not, even though he's written some of the things that I absolutely love. He's also written some things I'm going like, what the fuck is that? Jeff Johns is a writer that I always like, so I'm like Doomsday Clock has been fantastic for me. I just think it lost the momentum. And that has a lot of things that I get emotional about because I'm so attached to Watchmen and I'm so attached to the DC continuity, and they just like throw things at me and I'm like, oh yeah. So I hope that answers your question, Drew. I enjoy your show, Comics for Fun and Profit. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you very soon, and we'll be talking about books that came out in August of 2017 very shortly. Thanks for listening. Okay, and we're back with Mike M's Weekly Reads. And my co-host on Geek Brunch, Bill, asked me, well, why are you so behind? So I thought I'd explain why I am so. So the intent of Mike M's Weekly Reads was to be on schedule, but a year ago I fell behind and I'm still catching up. So that's why you hear 2017 Read Me doc, what I read for the week, because I'm catching up. So that was a good question. In case people are wondering, like, okay, this is the current Mike M's Weekly Reads and he's covering something from 2017. Well, that's how far behind I got. I record every week. Well, I don't. I record what I read every week to keep statistics on what I read and like what companies I'm reading and what kind of briefly summarize what this is, what the titles are, so I remember. And then I tried to keep caught up way back when I started this thing, and I failed. And I'll probably never be caught up, but I'm getting closer. I'm almost less than a year behind, and at one time I was a year behind. So I'm making my way towards achieving being caught up. But I'm gonna try to do two this week because they're short lists, and this is for August 7th through August 13th of 2017. And August 14th through August 21st of 2017. I had a pathetic reading week on August 7th through the 13th. I only read 14 comic books. We had 6 Marvel, 1 IDW, 3 Dynamite, 3 DC, and 1 Action Lab. So it was really, 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 really low. And, let's see here. Let's start at the 3 out of 5s. There were no 1 out of 5s or 2 out of 5s. So the 3 out of 5s, we got Danger Girl Squad number 0. This is kind of like where the Action Lab takes all of the Zombie Tramp and Vamp Blade and Dolph. What is her name? I can't remember her name. Dollface? But they put them all into one miniseries. And, this introduces all the characters, and they go into VR to try to rescue Dollface VR boyfriend. So I was entertained, but it wasn't that great. We have Mr. Miracle number 1, which was a 3 out of 5. This is written by Tom King. I had problems with this because it was redundant. First, he has Batman committing suicide, and then he has Scott Free committing suicide. And that's what really threw me off on this one. Oberon died of cancer. Scott committed suicide. Barda, eye color change. Scott is depressed as he's in some kind of contraption of Darkseid's doing and is being tortured. Like, at least that's what I thought. I think I speculated that. So that was 3 out of 5. I think there was a couple that I liked in this series, and I'm not caught up. I think I'm like 4 issues behind on Mr. Miracle. I took a break from Tom King to see if I come back and I like it more. So we'll see as I get closer to reading Batman and Mr. Miracle again. But it is incredible. It's still going on, and that was in August of 2017. So it's a 12 issue. Probably go to August of 2019, unless it skipped a few months. I don't remember if it did or not. We got 4 out of 5s. We got First Strike number 1. I don't even think I completed this, but this was an IDW crossover of the Hasbro properties. And Cybertron is invaded by a terrorist. led by John Colston, who is like one of the main G.I. Joe people. And Scarlet and crew discover his hideout. I think what happened when I read this is I didn't expect to buy it. I bought it and I liked it. So, but I never finished it. And I think the thing that I liked about it was that John Colston was undercover and he was kind of the bad guy. I thought that was kind of interesting. The next book was a 4 out of 5 was Centipede number 2. This is from Dynamite. Man tells us about his best friend as he does battle with the centipede and hurts its eye. If I remember correctly, in Centipede number 2, it implied that the main character, was either bisexual or gay. I can't remember if it was number 2 or number 3, but it did delve into his best friend, and that's where you kind of got the relationship. We got Shadow Volume 7, number 1 from Dynamite Comics. This was really good. It was a burn victim shows up at the hospital, and the doctor thinks it's the Shadow because she heard his voice before, and she was rescued by him. So there's just some speculation that this John Doe that shows up at the hospital might be the Shadow. I really liked it. The next one is a DC comic. It's Dark Days, the Casting. This is where the Joker was healed in the cave. Duke might be a metahuman. I forgot about that. I gotta read that Duke series to see what panned out of this. They uncover the secret to the metal, which now seems to be unleashed. I liked it better when the metal was kind of focused more on the nth metal, like you thought it was related to Hawkman, and then what it turns out to be is it's could be related to the 10th metal or 9th metal. It gets confusing. But I liked it. So we got 4 out of 5s. I don't know how I read this. This is one interesting. How did I read this? Oh, this was the original. This was the Marvel series. I can't remember what volume, but it was a Carnage 1 through 5. I read this entire series. Let me get the writer on this one just so I was like, which volume was this? I didn't write it down. Carnage, it's the second volume that's just titled his title proper. It's Mike Perkins is the art, and Jerry Conway was the writer. And I can't remember what got me to read this, so I'm gonna update my notes and say volume 2. But the government plans to trap Carnage by putting out there one of his surviving victims in an old mine system. He's teamed with Colonel John Jameson. And one thing I really liked about this is I'm a big fan of Man-Wolf, and that's Man-Wolf, John Jameson, which is the son of J. Jonah Jameson. And Eddie Brock, which is now in this particular series, was now Toxin. So that's interesting. And that was in 2016 that this title came out. They go after him only to find the owner of the mines was using them, and have the Book of Darkhold, in which they made Carnage even more powerful. And if you are what was it, Midnight Suns fan, back in the 90s, they had a title, The Darkhold, and I was. So they had like Spirits of Vengeance, Darkhold, Ghost Rider, man, there was several titles, Blade, Doctor Strange. There was a lot of the Midnight Sun titles, and Darkhold was one of them. And they brought it back into this. This was a interesting read. 4 out of 5. Another is Spider-Man Unlimited, number 7. This was a Cardiac story, and I remember Cardiac from the Larson days. I'm gonna lose my voice here. As he goes after someone he needs to save, and then it has a very emotional Mary Jane story about her husband that I enjoyed. And Ben Reilly was trying to find his reason for existence. So that was the anthology that was tied into the Clone Saga that I read in omnibus format. We now get into the 5 out of 5s, which was Sword Quest number 2 from Dynamite Comics. This is based on the Atari property, also the one that I talked about from Centipede earlier. So there were two Atari properties this week. The origin of the sword, as a mysterious guest tells them of another planet. They are going to team up with him to steal the sword. They have to steal it from a museum, if I remember correctly. The last 5 out of 5 was Batman Birth of a Demon hardcover. And man, I had this hardcover in my guest bedroom, and I don't think I ever read it. And I finally read it. It was the origin of Ra's al Ghul and Ra's, if you want to call it that. Batman sick and destroying all Lazarus pits. Ra's stabs him, and both of them go into the Lazarus pit. It's a tragic loss of a wife turns Ra's evil. So it talks about Ra's al Ghul's wife. I really liked it. That was really good. If I remember correctly, this was Breyfogle too. Let me see. Batman, Birth of a Demon. Yeah, it was Norm Breyfogle and Dennis O'Neil. Really cool story. And it was original, I believe. Original hardcover. You have to have the hardcover to get the story. So then we go into August 14th of 2017 through August 21st of 2017, and we had 27 books, but not a lot of titles. There were 17 Marvel titles and 10 Image. We'll start at the bottom with the 3 out of 5s. This was the current volume of Cable. I read Cable number 2 and 3 as Cable continues to chase down the villain who is providing weapons throughout time. And if I remember correctly, this is James Robinson that was writing it. We then get into Elektra, which I think is the Peter Milligan Elektra, Deodato Elektra, and it's number 5 through 12 and -1. I don't think I own these, but I own the trade paperback, so I read these in trade. It's in a very unusual story where the architect is defeated by Elektra and Doctor Strange, but the guy in charge of the dance studio is transformed into a woman as he tried to betray Elektra. That was really weird. Because this is weird as Elektra is still an assassin, but she owns a dojo, and then she's working at a dance studio like she's part of a play, and the guy that owns the dance studio was kind of weird, and eventually the architect turned him into a woman. So that was very strange. And then we have a three-part crossover as she teams with Daredevil to fight the American Samurai, who's a vigilante killing villains in New York. And it rekindles the relationship, even though they both are in relationships. The girl whose father was killed is now living with Elektra. When this series opens up, it shows like a mugging where a father and a teenage girl are in an alleyway and Elektra saves them. I think it was Bullseye that was involved, if I remember correctly. And the father is killed, so Elektra was trying to help the girl, but the girl runs away and she goes into prostitution, and there's just crazy stuff that goes on. There's one issue story where she's trying to protect someone in police custody, and he's a bad guy and a womanizer. So that was an interesting one shot. And then we get back to Carnage, which we just talked about, which was Jerry Conway. Carnage number 6 and 11, volume 2. Carnage still trying to use the Darkhold book, and takes them to an island. An FBI woman becomes a new Symbionite. God, I can't say it right now that they've been symbiote. I get confused now, Barb, because we saw the preview and they mispronounce it. Now I'm mispronouncing it. Symbiote. We have a 5 out of 5. So those were 4 out of 5s, the Electras and the Carnages. And then we get to the 5 out of 5s, which was Savage Dragon, the ongoing, number 1 through 10. I was reading this as I had bought on a sale the black and white archives. And I love this, but one thing I will say, in my opinion, is that Savage Dragon must be read in color, like to get the full effect. It doesn't work as well in black and white. And I was reading it in archive, and archives are black and white. They're these big, thick omnibuses of that I was, I think I got them like for $5.99 on sale or something. And I have it on my iPad, and I bought all the archives and I started reading. I've already read this stuff, but I wanted to reread Savage Dragon and introduce myself back to this. And this was Frank was really tricked Dragon into joining the police force when he was blackmailed into working with the Vicious Circle. Dragon and Frank go after Overlord, and Frank fakes death to be with his wife. That's the police guy that got the Dragon to work there. Dragon almost killed in an encounter, but heals. He is now dating Rapture, and I didn't spell Rapture right. And Freak Force joins the police force, only to quit a very short time after. They're still trying to figure out Savage Dragon's origin. It was a really good 10 issues, so that sums up the comics read for that week. There were 27. The previous week was 14. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.